Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you Monday, July the 13th, 2020. 13 minutes past the hour. How about that? The 13th? 13 minutes past the hour. And we are en route to a great hour here on the morning show. Now, I want to tell you something interesting that just happened. We went through a big conversation there, and maybe more people, well, somebody, maybe will participate this hour. The conversation last hour, I think, is a very important one to have. Now, see, we can do funny shows like we did on Friday night, but I think this is an important topic, and it's brought on by a big news story about Elvis Presley's grandson committing suicide yesterday. And why are suicide rates on the rise? And why do people not tell people they matter? You know, I will tell you, you can be in the worst moment of your life, and if somebody comes up to you and says something nice, it could be a stranger sometimes, it does matter. It does affect you. I don't know. Why aren't we that way? Why do we have to keep preaching this and talking about this all the time? Why don't people just develop this ability to be a little nicer in life? Because it will save lives. Now, I don't know what the situation was with the gentleman, Elvis Presley's grandson. I can't speak to that matter. And I can't speak to anybody's matter in particular. But I do know, the nicer we are, the nicer the world's going to be, and people maybe won't feel so hopeless. You know, I know, we've all known people who committed suicide. I've known people who committed suicide, and I know somebody who committed suicide one time because of financial difficulties. They had lost... I can't remember how the story exactly went, so I really don't want to misquote it, but basically, they owned, or their mother had left her house to them, and the mother had passed away, and I think they ended up mortgaging their house for some reason, and they just were not making any money anymore, and they had been a success in their life, and it was just too much for them. One morning, and nobody knew it was coming. They knew the person was getting more depressed, but I think everybody just wrote it off on, you know, financial troubles. But, you know, the unthinkable did happen. Now, if somebody had reached out to them, if somebody had said, no, you know what, it's going to be okay. So what? So what if you lose that house? You know what? We'll fix it. We'll do... Sometimes that's all it takes, or it, not even that will fix the problem. Basically, maybe to the degree of, hey, you know, I'm here with you. Whatever you're going through, I'm going to be here with you. These people feel very lonely who are going through these messes. They feel like they're going through them alone. People who have substance abuse problems, I know they feel like they're going through it alone. And they feel like nobody cares. They feel like their family has disowned them. Their friends have disowned them. Well, you know, when somebody's having a problem like that, I don't think there's anything wrong with voicing your anger and how you want them to fix the problem and get better. Go to a clinic, do what you got to do. But I don't know that leaving them alone, you know, totally turning them out, I don't know how that helps. Unless you're absolutely at rock bottom with the situation and there's nothing else you can do. It's very, very tricky. But we've always got to let people know that they matter. because there were a lot of people walking around putting on an act. Now, the reason I bring this up is because I got a nice message there during the break, and it was very just a nice message, and it basically said, and I'll tell you why I'm telling this story, it just basically said, you make me happy. Now, here's what, to be honest with you, with this particular person who sent me this message, I mean, I know we get along, I know we have fun when we're together, but really make them happy, I don't know. You don't know. And see how simple it can be sometimes just to say, you know, you make me happy. It's important that you're in my life. It does matter. So just pay attention to that and do what you can. Do what you can. Do what you can to show people that it's important that they're there. I'm not saying it's going to save every life. It probably won't. Some people are determined to do what they're determined to do. But I do think a lot of this is, there's got to be a reason the suicide rate is on the up climb. And in every state, there's something to that. And I'm not sure what it is. But the quicker we isolate that problem and fix that problem, the better off we're all going to be. Because I'll tell you this, as much as we talk about it with other people, one day it could be us. One day we might feel alone and depressed and scared. You know, it's funny. Sometimes people get humiliated and they have something awful written about them. You know, this is very easy to do in the world of Facebook now. People will get humiliated because people are harsh in the Facebook world. People will say anything. They don't care how you feel because to them, you're not a real person. And they just think that you're so, I guess you're like an inanimate object. I really don't know what they think. But they say awful stuff. And sometimes you read that stuff because it's public. And do you know the toll that will take on you? I think sometimes people don't even know the toll that it takes. You know, I know people living lives who are, it's a tough life. And you will ask them, how you doing? Because you can clearly see that their life is rough. And because of the shame of just saying, hey, listen, I'm in a bad way. I feel awful. This is not good. They won't say that because we can't be vulnerable. That's the word. We can't be vulnerable. Heaven forbid, no. We can't tell people that we're actually feeling awful. Because we say, well, I don't want to burden that person with my problems. What could they do? Well, it's not about what they could do. It's about, okay, now they're aware that you're not feeling well. Maybe they can check in on you. Maybe you can go and hang out. You know, it does matter to be around people. It really, really, really does. I believe in talk therapy huge. You know, a few months ago on this show, I talked about going fishing, and I talked about, you know, getting a blanket and going down and sitting in front of the pond and just watching the water blow. And, you know, I understand there's not a lot of time for that in life. We're very busy. We're very overscheduled. But you know what that does? What that does is it gives you a time to talk. It gives you a moment to get things off your chest. It lets you know that the other person's paying attention. You know, you can look at them, they can look at you, and it does matter. And that's another big problem in this whole thing, to be honest with you, being overscheduled. We've got to stop that. We've got to stop overscheduling ourselves. There are certain things we got to do, but we don't got to do everything. And it's fascinating to me, to be honest with you, and I'm not coming down on drinking at all, because I believe I don't want you to go out and drink if you don't have a driver, and I don't want you to develop alcoholic tendencies. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying, you know, that's how a lot of people try to fix their problems. they go around people who are drinking, and I'm not saying those people are necessarily drinking to fix their problems. They might just be drinking to have a good time. But you go because it takes you away for a minute. And I don't know if that's right. And you know what? Somebody just said something very brilliant. I just got a message here. And this is the truth. And pay attention to this. Pay attention to this. Everybody who's got a friend or a relative or somebody who always says they're busy and can't go places and can't do things and always fights you on it. Oh, I'm just so busy. I can't do that. Pay attention to this quote. Just pay attention. Busy people make themselves busy to not deal with the issues. Pay attention to that. That's a very wise quote. And that's not my quote. Now, again, we all have to work. We all have things that we do have to do. I'm not saying that. But if you're constantly not able to get that person to do anything fun, because the answer is, I'm busy, I'm busy, I'm busy, I'm busy, I'm busy, there's some lie in that. There really is. They're deflecting. They're deflecting you, and that's their getaway. So you got to have fun. You really do have to have fun. It's very important. And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Now, does anybody have any peace of mind on this issue? I know we've all faced things in our own lives. I know we've had people in our own lives who have committed suicide. You know, it's interesting because suicide has become such a prevalent thing. I don't know anybody who doesn't know somebody or have a family member who has doesn't know somebody who's done it. I mean, it's horrendous. So I'm not saying you have to call in and share that experience. If you want to, you can. But we're all friends here. But what do you think about this whole idea? Are people really happy? Do we really reach out? Do we pay attention? 740-383-9944. Let's go to the phones. Good morning, caller.
Oh, good morning, Scott. How you doing this morning? Oh. Tell me like you're doing good.
I this is an interesting morning. I'm having fun this morning.
You done what now?
I said it's a good morning. I'm having fun this morning.
Oh, okay. I've been listening to you there, talking about, you know, our society. People in our society is, I'm like you, I don't understand the majority of people walking around like they're chip on their shoulder. You know what I'm saying? Got no friends, don't want no friends, not friendly, and so on and so forth. And that is not the way life is meant to be. You know, life is a lot what you make out of it. You can make, I think you can make life miserable, and you can make it joyful. Life is what you make out of it.
Oh, I agree. And you know, the thing of it is, and I'm not trying to underscore people's problems. I know right now, I'm starting to see things in the community in Marion, Ohio that I've never seen before. And I think it's because of this pandemic. I'm starting to see, I saw this past weekend, and I don't know who it was, but there was a person out singing, and they had their guitar case opened, and they were collecting money for themselves. People are in bad financial straits right now, and I've never seen that in Marion, Ohio.
Scott, you know, things is changing in this world something fiercely. We're losing togetherness, friendship, whatever. We can't do anything that we used to do. And life is just got to change with it, and some people just can't cope with it, with the way that life is going on. I mean, even me, and we talked about, well, a lot of people complains and groans and moans and go on and so forth, and they ain't got nowhere, they can't get nowhere. Well, a lot of people, I'm not saying all of them, but a lot of people brings that on themselves, really. You know, we're talking about going to work, so and so. I worked all my life. I'm proud of what I did. I worked for it. I mean, and I'm proud of it. And I enjoy going to work. Now, if you've got a job and you hate it and hate to go to work, it's going to be miserable. You understand? Whatever you're doing, if you're not satisfied with it and get, you know, whatever out of it, it's miserable. But you can make it miserable yourself if you don't watch and you won't even notice it.
You know, it's
so
funny.
You know, we all got to go through this world.
You know, I think it's interesting you bring that point up because this is, funny is not the right word, but I guess it's ironic about the whole work and money situation. Time and time again, I have found that people who care about money and they make their work decisions based on that never have any money. And people who make their work decisions based upon love of what they do, they're the ones who have the money.
Money. Let me put it this way. Money. You could have all the money in the world, Scott. And if you haven't got any friends. If you haven't got friends or, you know, whatever, all the money in the world, if you're not able to enjoy it, well, you can enjoy it sitting with, but you got to be able to spend it. When you get down, maybe out, that you can't get around, or you got to have friends somewhere, then the money don't amount to too much. You understand what I'm saying? Money is not everything.
No.
Friends are more important than anything you could come along with.
Well,
sure, if you're able to get around and spend it, so on and so forth, you got plenty of money. That's right. But what happens if you can't do that? Then what happens?
Well,
you got the money and you ain't got no friends. Then what happens?
Well, that's right. And the funny thing about this is I think a lot of times, you know, you get a friend or you're in a relationship or whatever you're in, married, who knows, and this person makes you happy. And I think a lot of times, because we're not a society that overanalyzes this, but, you know, if somebody makes you happy and you're having a rough time, and for some reason, they just make you happy. Their presence makes you happy. I think sometimes we do need to analyze that and say, now, wait a second. What is it about this person that is making me happy? Because happy is the goal. Money is not the goal. You know, we're not all going to live forever. That's not the goal. The goal is to be happy. So why does that person make me happy and that person doesn't? So I think it is important to analyze that sometimes and really don't let those people walk out of your life because that's a lifeline.
Scott, you know, the people that's in public life, people that's in public life, it's supposed to be our supporters and so on, law enforcement and so on and so forth. That's supposed to be the people that's supposed to reach out to people, regardless, good or bad. They're supposed to be there to serve the public, the people. You know what I'm saying? Now, I live on a street that's pretty busy, and the law enforcement, they go by me quite a bit. Well, not only them, but other cars. I can't hardly hear somebody speak to me. You'll throw a hand up or something? You know, I throw my hand, hold neighbor, wave. And I can't get nobody to even haul a horn, throw the head up, or nothing. I said, I don't understand this society. It's like they're the only ones in the world. Well, I don't know. Maybe they are to themselves. But, Scott, that's wrong. I mean, if you pass a guy on the street, sidewalk, car, whatever, hey, neighbor, hey, and you don't see that no more. You follow me?
Oh, and I'm not sure why. I mean, you know, this technology was supposed to bring us all closer, and I'm quite sure that it has made us all more distant. And you know, I talk about these pictures, and some people make fun of them. But the truth of the matter is, when cell phones got pictures on them, every cell phone got a camera. You know, that is an easy way. You know, do you remember, I'm sure you do, I remember this well, for years when we were all so fascinated with telephones where you could get a picture on a telephone, boy, we just thought that was the greatest thing, that we could see somebody. You know, they didn't work very well, but we thought this was great. Well, that age is over. All cell phones, most cell phones have cameras on them now. You can send somebody a picture of you. You can send somebody, you know, you looking goofy, or maybe you feel you look good that day and you want to show somebody. Yep. Do that. You know,
positive. Well, they've even got phones now that you could call somebody and talk right to them face to face. You know, blah, blah, blah. You know, but now getting back to seeing and talking to somebody, of course, you probably can't remember all that well before there's any TV.
Oh, yeah.
We had, you know, radios, you know. I mean, that was the biggest thing there was when the first radio came out way back. Well, that was the greatest thing it ever was. But then TV come along, and you know, there it goes. So now we got everything else, telephone, computers, and so on and so forth. But people's getting farther apart. Now, all of this writing is supposed to got us closer together. We couldn't be further apart, I don't think. Now, I mean, it doesn't seem like it's getting any better. Everything is getting worse. Regardless what they do or try to do, things is getting worse.
Oh.
To me, seems like.
Well,
I may be wrong. I'm just one. But everything you look at is just about disaster.
Well, that's, you know, when I read this story last night about Elvis Presley's grandson, because he was such a big figure, and Elvis Presley's daughter has been a big success, Lisa Marie, and I look at this family that he came from, and everybody looking on, I'm sure, would say, boy, he's got it all.
Yep.
You know, he's got it all, and he's a young kid, and yet puts a gun to himself.
Yeah.
And ends it. And you don't know. You just don't know the pain people are in. And I'm sure everybody today, his mother, his family, his friends, I'm sure they're all saying, why didn't I know this? Why couldn't I? Do you remember when Robin Williams committed suicide a few years ago?
Oh, yeah.
I remember everybody saying, you know, this man brought laughter to everybody, and we didn't know. He hit it. We didn't know how much he was suffering.
Well, you know, some people really don't show any emotions when they, you know, even think about it to some of them. But now, if you really pay attention to them and close to them, majority of them would be caught on them. But like I say, now we're getting so far apart. We don't even know what's going on in the families anymore, you know, majority of the people. You know, we don't even know what's happening in our family. Things can happen right in your family at you least expect until it's all over with, and then, well, you can see maybe what went wrong, but it's too late then.
Right, and you know, there used to be a point we could get with people where we knew they were lying to us. You know, if we said, oh, how you doing today? And they said, oh, I'm doing fine, I'm doing great. And you knew immediately, because you knew that person well, you knew that they were totally lying to you. And then you would still go in and you would try to cheer them up. You would say, okay, this can be fixed. We can deal with this. And I don't know if we do that anymore. I don't know if we have that close enough relationship with anybody.
See, right back to what I said a while ago, we haven't got close enough relationships with our public in our families. Families is, Scott's families is just, I mean, there's so many of them, it's just tore apart, upside down, and you know what I'm saying, and one night stands and whatever, and back years ago, family really meant something. I mean, family knitted together. Anymore, it's hard to find a family. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, you know what I've noticed about families, this is interesting, is that, you know, people will visit their families, people will go to their families, people will say that they have, you know, they love their families, and I don't doubt them, I think they do, but I think what's going on is that there's still some kind of distance. There's this little distance that remains that you either know they can't fix the problem, or you're afraid to approach them because of things that have happened in the past. And that's tough.
Yeah. And, Stravitz, I feel for the young generation, the young people, the kids. That's the way they are, what they got to be brought up around and in. I sit on my front porch a lot and sway this hot weather. I love it. And these young kids, just 12, 14, maybe 15, maybe 16, not, you know. And there'd be, three or four of them, maybe one or two of them, or whatever. They'll go by and they'd be on these phones, or sometimes they're not. And I can't get over these youngsters and the language they use. And they couldn't care less who's hearing them. And, you know, I'm brought up in, you know, language and, you know, respect for others was meant something. But anymore, these kids runs up and down the street, they don't have no respect for themselves or nobody else. The language they use in public is, I never was brought up that way, and it's hard to comprehend people, youngsters, it's like that. Now, I don't understand it. Well, this is brought up in home. It has a lot to do with the way they're brought up, let's put it that way. And, you know, they don't care what kind of language they use in the public. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
well, I do, and I also think that there is there's a very strange thing going on in society right now. You know, not everybody has a millionaire in their family. Not everybody has somebody who's the rich aunt or the rich uncle. But it's interesting to me how, okay, if we're surrounded by people, and I'm not saying people have to hand you money, because I do believe a lot of people's depression right now is brought on by their finances. But I'm saying that if somebody knows that you're in financial trouble and this is really causing a problem in your life, I get that we all can't run in and fix that problem financially, but you know what? Do you remember the old days when, I mean, like, for example, most people love their mothers. Not all, but most people love their mothers. And if mom lost everything and was in a bad way, what son or daughter, even if they didn't have any money, would not be on their hands and knees every day trying to make sure mom's okay?
Oh, yeah.
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 What happened to that?
Well, that's like I said a while ago. Family life is just, I mean, Scott, it is very, mother is number one in a family. Let's put it that way. Mother is number one in a family. I don't care what comes or goes. She brought these kids into this world. And for her to give up her kids, you know, I don't understand it, but it takes two to make a family life right. I mean, there are a lot of families that's just one parents, let's put it that way. Well, life was meant to be that way, if you could, you know what I'm saying. Man and woman is to be together and family, bring a family into this world. Well, they should be able to raise them up, and Lord, look at them, it's not. Look at them, it's not that way. And that is, you know, that is a lot of what's the matter for our society. I know some kids that say, you know, get out of here, go somewhere else, bum on somebody else, and blah, blah. That ain't the way family life is supposed to be like. That parents should know where them kids are going, what they're going to do, when they get back. No, but turn them loose and let them go, and you know, and that's what's the matter with a lot of our society, our youngsters, and it's been like that for quite a while, you know that. So I don't know what's going to bring our society back together. It's just what going on in our society is absolutely unbelievable. Who's supposed to be the richest, is the most popular, famous country in the world, United States, and Scott, what happened to it?
I don't think it's too late, though. I think we can get it back.
Do what now?
I said, I don't think it's, I think we're in a bad way, but
you better believe it we're in a bad way.
I do think there's always time to get it right. I think we can always correct our mistakes and fix our problems and really get to the bottom. You know, it's like earlier on when I was saying, why do certain people make us happy and certain people do not? Okay, well, if we figure out the answer to that, there's still time to fix that problem. There's still time. There's always time. And I think in the greater scheme of society, it's, you know, what makes us feel the best? And why aren't we chasing that? And I think the quicker society is to do that and pay attention to the other person as well, the better off we're going to be. And we better do it quick.
Scott, to me, I hate to keep bringing this question or this answer up. Respect. I think love and respect is the most important thing I think could be in this world. You've got to have respect in order to try to get something done. You got to have respect for this. You got to love this person. You got to love that person. And we ain't got neither one of them.
Oh, that's true.
I mean, sure, we got some love, but then it's a mighty few of them. Look at the hate and disrespect we had on all of these rights. Just look at it. It's hard to believe that people back a while back, I assume there should have been, it was a lot respectable. Look at them, it turned violent. And what all they, I'm not saying what they done wasn't right, but look at it, they done it wasn't right. They lose the respect and turn up and this. Somebody's got to pay for that. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I don't believe in destroying something just because you destroy it. It ain't bothering me. Somebody's got to pay for this.
Well, it is true, and I don't know what the end result of that will be. It's an interesting time. I just, you know, I really hope today, maybe just thinking of the grandson of Elvis Presley, because he was beloved by so many people, that if you think about that, and you just sit down and write a letter, take a picture, take the time to tell somebody why they're important in your life, you don't know the difference that can make. And I just hope everybody who's listening does that today. And not the obvious person. You know, sometimes everybody writes the obvious person. Well, that does. Write the unobvious person. Write the person who probably doesn't know that you feel that way about them, that you think they're great or whatever. Do that. And in the end, I think it's going to be better for all of us.
Scott, you know, in the news, we get news all that. And it's hard to get good news. It's all the time bad news of some sort, you know. And I don't know, Scott, I don't know. I'm getting old. Well, I ain't getting old, already old. And it's hard to imagine at our world in the way it is compared to when I was back young. You know, it was just as much difference now and then as daylight and dark. And our society is, how everybody seems like is against somebody else. And seems like there's so many of them that's got to have more than the other person's got. You know, blah, blah, blah. Money, you know, it's good to have money to get what you, let's put it this way, get what you need. If people figured out, just give me what I need through life, not what I want, get what I need. And when you leave this world, you ain't going to take with you. Okay, how much money you got? You ain't going to take with you. You ain't going to take nothing with you. You're going to leave behind. You're going to go out of this world the same way you came in. You came in with nothing, you're going to go out with nothing. You understand what I'm saying?
That's true. I agree.
I mean, it's plain and simple. Dwell on all of this that I don't need. You say, well, do I need this or don't I need this? If you don't need it, why worry about it? I mean, if you don't need it, what are you going to do if you don't need it? So, there you go. Too many people say, well, I need this. I want that. I need this. I want that. Well, put both. Kind of divide them. Do I need this? If I do, help me get it. Do I want that? Forget it.
I agree.
I mean, if you don't need it, what are you going to do with it? And I'll go. I heard myself already. If you don't need it, what are you going to do with it?
Put it in the closet.
That ain't going to do you no good.
I know. That's why my garage looks the way it does. It's a place where everything I don't use goes.
Well, no, I can't say that about my garage. If something gets in the way of my vehicles in the garage, it's going to go, because that's where the vehicles are meant to be, in the garage. And if I don't need it, it's got to go. And if it's in the way of my vehicle, it's got to go. I'm not praying stuff for that. Because, I hope these youngsters listen to this and these older people too. When you get old, if you're in fairly good health and got what you need, not what you want, there are a lot of things I want, but I will. It ain't even bother if I don't get them. Praying stuff that out. You know, if I don't need them, I don't need them anymore. When you get older, you'll understand about life more than you did when you're young. Because when you get old, you know you ain't got a whole lot longer to last, because when you're already old. So all of this other stuff behind doesn't matter, because you can't help it. It's already past. You can't do nothing with the past, but you got to look towards the future. So I sit around and life has been good to me. Nobody gave me nothing. I never mistreated anybody, and I worked for what I got, and I paid taxes all of my life. And Lord, I'm an old man now, and I'm still paying taxes. So listen to me, old people and young people, regardless how much you get, the money, no matter how much you get, if you can't enjoy it while you're here, you're definitely not going to enjoy it when you're gone, because it's going to stay behind. It's going to stay behind. Enjoy life, what little bit you got, because it won't last long. First thing you know, if you're a young one, first thing you know, you're going to be old. And when you get old, age just flies. Every time I turn around, I got a birthday. Birthday. Lord, first thing you know, I'm an old man. How much longer am I going to last? God bless everybody. Thank you, Scott, for letting me get on. I'd talk to you.
I appreciate it.
God bless you.
Call.
Take care.
You call anytime. Thank you, sir.
Bye.
All right, and phone lines are open. Remember, if the phone line's ringing busy, just means we're on the line with somebody else, so chime on in. 740-383-9944. It's a big topic, 52 minutes past the hour. And it's a heavy conversation for a Monday morning, but to be honest with you, it's spurred by the suicide of Elvis Presley's grandson, and it's a conversation I think we all need to have because it is going on locally. Stop being so just obstinately angry with people. What's the point of that? I don't get it. You know, we're only around here for a short time. Why not try to be happy? Why not try to enjoy life? And, you know, fear is a big driver of this. We're so scared to tell people how we feel. Tell them. What's the worst that could happen? Go ahead, caller.
Hi, Scott. Another guy from the old group here.
That's fine by me.
You know, I pretty much agree with most of what the fellow was saying there. You know, people today aren't social in a lot of ways, or they're too social to the fact where they always have to have a gang around them. And myself, I'm a lot happier when I'm by myself. I know I like to go out and clean the weeds out of my yard and all. And people say, well, you know, why are you doing that? Why don't you? No, I'm happy. I sit there, I listen, I got my music with me. I don't have to worry about anybody saying, oh, you're doing that wrong or stuff like that. I enjoy just the peace in not having to answer people.
Well, and that's a big part of it. And I think something that's going on is I don't think that everybody needs validation. And that's not necessarily, I think, what I'm talking about here this morning with this suicide. I think the problem is that we are so, some people, things creep up on people, I think, sometimes that we don't understand. I don't think anybody would have looked at Elvis Presley's grandson and said, oh, you know, he's got a bad life. I don't think anybody would have said that. Mm-hmm. But clearly something was going on with him that made him do a pretty horrific thing. To think that his mother wouldn't care, his grandmother wouldn't care, and his friends wouldn't care. And I think that's it. I think sometimes, you know, these social things that we do, what do they really amount to? Are we really saying anything? We're talking a lot, but are we saying anything of any substance at all? I don't know if we are or not.
For the most part, you don't. One of the things that we have now is a lot more, you know, you can go in and talk to people, but a lot of it turns wrong. There are constantly people going in there, and their point is to basically make the other people feel bad.
Oh, absolutely.
And they just love it. And since they can do it without people knowing who they are, they feel, oh, boy, that's wonderful. It's not wonderful. It's a far distance from wonderful. They seem to get a real kick out of that nonsense.
You know, what people try to do to other people is really, I wish that everybody who makes a comment, even if they put their name to it, that what we're doing on social media now and what we're doing in places, everybody who writes a false story on purpose and everybody who makes a comment on that going after somebody they don't even know, I wish that those people could understand. How would you like it if that was done to you? How would you like it if somebody did that to you? I look at these kids and I think, my goodness gracious, no wonder these kids are having such a rough time. Their friends put something up in 5 seconds on a social media page, and all of a sudden everybody in the school knows it. And it doesn't really matter if it's true or not anymore. Yeah. That's unimportant if it's true. Mm-hmm. It's just that you get associated with it. And that's where your true friends come out. And that's what I'm saying in these moments. You know, it's people who will see or read something and say, I know that person. I know that is baloney. And that's when you go to that person and you say, listen, I don't even need to know what happened here. I'm behind you. You know, it's easy to be around somebody when times are good. A little more difficult when times are bad.
Oh, I agree. I wish it was easier than it is now. It's tough. And you can't answer anything with some dumb word. Like I say the other day, I hate this business about, oh, we're all in this together. No, we're not. And, you know, I don't think it's bad to be with it, but I'm not a part of it. I have nothing to do with it. I don't go out and, you know, basically make a big deal about, you know, agreeing with other people at all. I prefer just to stay myself, stay home here. The only people I care about, really, you know, a lot of people I'm okay with them, but the only people I care about are my family. They're not here because they're all in different, they're all over the place, in all three places, including even my brother, he's down in Louisville. And, you know, it's, but my immediate family, I talk to them every day, particularly my one daughter in New Jersey. She calls every day. It's she tells us how her cats are doing and all that good stuff. And we enjoy that. And our son, who's opened up his own thing in there where he works. And he's successful. Every one of our kids have been very successful. Of course, it cost me a lot to get them there.
There's always a back end. There's always a back end. Well, you know, it's an interesting conversation. I'm glad we had it today, and you know, we're about out of time here, but it's fascinating because I think that's it. You know, wherever you derive your happiness, go with that. And you know, I think this needs to be talked about more because today it was brought on by this suicide, which is awful, but you know, it's happening every day, and I really would love to know why it's on the rise everywhere in the United States.
I remember there was a fellow that I worked with, though, and he was very, you know, very much somebody that you really thought was had it all. And he worked as an, you know, he also worked in the, no, what am I thinking, you know, as a cop, but, you know, as a part-time cop, like. And one day, he called in, he said, I want to warn you, when you come down to this place where I'm at now, I want to warn you that I'm going to kill myself, and it's going to be a mess in there. And I want to let you know so that you're not surprised and not prepared for it. This guy was so not that way. But he did. He blew his head off.
Oh, and you never know. And that's the thing. You never know.
He was a guy who was always laughing and coming up with jokes. But there was something within him that wasn't there.
And maybe that's the lesson today. Pay attention. And thanks for that's it. Thank you so much.
Alrighty.
All right. Bye-bye. Well, we're out of time today. Very poignant story to end on there. Mid-morning coffee break with Adam Lepp coming up in 10 minutes. And Voice of a People with Linda Sims at 4. Mike Wilson at 5. What a discussion today. Maybe we'll continue it tomorrow. For this day, Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
WWGH, Marion, Ohio, 107.1 FM, and clicking like for exclusive aiming on WWGH.